3. Autumn term. A. Confused kids in office suits. I can't believe I haven't seen you for like 2 entire months, said one of my friends on the first day of autumn term. We were back at our lunch table, all year 13s now, feeling less like confused kids in office suits and more like aging veterans of the education system. What have you been up to? I couldn't believe it either. I only realised that it had been that long when I arrived at school on the first day back, and 3 of them had changed their hair colours, and 1 had a tan so extreme that she was almost the same colour as me. Not that much, I said, without meaning to. Not that much. Understatement of the millennium. She waited for me to add something else, but I didn't know what. What did I talk about last year when I was with my school friends? Anything or nothing? Hey, Francis, said another friend. Weren't you hanging out with Alid last this summer? Who's Alid last? Said the first friend. I think he's Daniel Jung's friend. He went to the boys' school. And Francis is going out with him. The friends looked at me and waited. No, I said and laughed nervously. We're just friends. None of them believed me. I glanced around for Rain, but she wasn't there. What did you do with him then? Said a friend, grinning. Alid had told me weeks ago that nobody could know that he made Universe City. He said it quite forcefully, actually, with a kind of panic in his eyes, a contrast to his usual tentative air. If anyone knew it was him, he said, the entire concept, mystery and intrigue of the show would be ruined. But then he chuckled and joked that also he really didn't want his mum to find out, because that would be embarrassing, and he'd feel awkward making it if she was listening. I shrugged. We just hung out. We live opposite each other, so, yeah. I knew it didn't sound convincing, and they knew it didn't sound convincing. But they accepted it anyway. They started talking about other things, and I stayed silent because I had nothing to contribute, which was nothing unusual for me around my school friends. But it felt weird, because I'd forgotten that this was how I normally behaved. Toulouse. I was so confused about how friendships worked by that point that I just accepted that I didn't have any real ones. Old sport, said Alid into the microphone in his radio voice, then glanced at me when I didn't read my line and tapped me on the hand. It's you. We were recording the mid-September episode on a Thursday evening, a couple of weeks into term. Alid's room was dark apart from the glare of his laptop screen and the fairy lights wrapped around his bed. I hadn't been paying attention because I had been staring at my phone. I'd been staring at my phone because I'd just received an email notifying me that someone had sent me an anonymous Tumblr message. The anonymous Tumblr message said this. Anonymous said, is your real name Francis Janvier? I stared at it. Then Alid stared at it. Then my phone buzzed as a second email arrived. Anonymous said, hey, don't know if you've seen, but lots of people in the Universe City Tumblr tag are saying you're a girl called Francis. No pressure to say anything about it, but just thought you should be aware. Fuck, said Alid. Alid rarely swore. Yes, I agreed. Without saying anything, Alid opened up an internet tab and went straight to Tumblr. He had an account on there, but never posted anything. He just used it to lurk and spy on the fandom. The top post in the Universe City Tumblr tag, with over 5,000 notes, was a long post dedicated to identifying me as the voice of Toulouse, the show's artist, and the owner of the blog Toulouser, known online only as Toulouse. Someone maybe from school or the town, I don't know, had made a Tumblr post comparing a video of me presenting a speech for the parent governors at a past school event, uploaded to the school's website, to my voice in the last few episodes, and some blurry screenshots of me from the ghost school episode. Underneath the evidence, the person had written, OMFG, do you think Toulouse is this Francis Janvier person? They look and sound the same, lol. Laughing emoji. At Toulouse. At Toulouse. At Toulouse. The laughing emoji made me grind my teeth. They're literally one step away from finding me, said Alid. I glanced towards him and saw he was fiddling with his jumper sleeves. What do you want me to do? I said, genuinely asking. What should we do? They'd probably respect me if I asked them not to look for you. That's not going to stop them, he said, and rubbed his forehead. I could deny it. They won't believe you, he groaned. This is all because of that stupid episode. I'm such an idiot. I shuffled in my chair. Well, I mean, it's not your fault, but, like, if they find out it's you, it won't be a disaster, will it? I mean, it's probably got to come out at some point, especially if you carry on getting subscribers. No, it was going to be a mystery forever. That's what makes it so great. Alid shook his head, his eyes gazing out of focus into the computer screen in front of him. That's what makes it special. It's so... it's all contained. It's just this kind of ethereal thing. This special, magical ball of happiness hanging in the air above everyone's head that nobody can touch. And it's just mine. And nobody gets to interfere, not the fandom, not my mum, not anyone. I felt myself losing track of what he was saying, so I didn't reply. I looked back at my emails and found 10 new messages there. I went ahead and made a post about it anyway. Toulouse. Yes, you guessed it. Lol. So, for the past 2 years on Tumblr, you've known me as Toulouse, or Toulouse, which I'm sure you guessed was a fake name. I kept myself anonymous because no one, IRL, knew that I did these drawings, or was so embarrassingly obsessed with this beautiful YouTube channel. I guess I underestimated people's ability to put voices to faces, and there've been a lot of rumours flying around about me over the past couple of weeks. So, yes, my real name is Francis Janvier, and I'm the artist for Universe City, and the voice of Toulouse. I used to be just a massive fan of the show, and now, suddenly, I'm helping make the show, which is weird, but here we are. No, I'm not going to tell you who radio is. Please, stop asking. It'd also be cool if you could not stalk me. Okay, bye. Hashtag Universe City. Hashtag Radio. Silence. Hashtag Universe Citizens. Hashtag LOL. Can people stop sending me asks of the same question now? Hashtag Thank You. Hashtag I'll get back to drawing now. By this point, I had around 4,000 followers on Tumblr. By the weekend, that went up to 25,000. By the Monday after, 5 separate people had come up to me at school to ask me if I was the voice of Toulouse from Universe City. And, of course, I had to say yes. By 1 week after, Everybody at school knew that I, Frances Janvier, the extremely studious and boring head girl, was doing some weird YouTube thing in secret. Or not so secret anymore, I guess. Artistic was disappointing. You're probably aware of the reason I needed to speak to you, Frances. I was sitting in Dr. Aphelion's office in the third week of September, in a chair that was awkwardly positioned at the side of the room, so I had to turn my head to look at her. I was completely unaware of the reason why she needed to talk to me, which is probably why I'd felt especially shocked when I got a note in the register that morning calling me to her office during break. Aphelion was a pretty good head teacher, not gonna lie. She was mostly known for her annual speech about how she got from a tiny village in Nigeria to getting a PhD from the University of Oxford. She had her PhD certificate on her office wall in an ornate wooden frame. Just to remind everyone who came in here that underachievement is unacceptable. I never really liked her, to be honest. She crossed her legs and interlocked her fingers on her desk. She gave me a small smile which said, "You are very disappointing to me." No? I said with a vague laugh at the end as if that would make anything better. She raised her eyebrows. "Right." There was a pause as she leaned back in her chair and clasped her hands together over one crossed leg. "You seem to have been involved with a viral internet video that gives a very bad impression of what we're all about here at the Academy." "Oh." "Oh," I said. "Yes, it's a very entertaining video," she said with absolutely no expression. "And it contains a lot of, well, propaganda." I'm not sure what face I was making at that point. "It's garnered quite a lot of attention, hasn't it?" she continued. "Almost 200,000 views now. A few parents have been asking questions." "Oh," I said. Who told you about it?" "I heard about it from a student." "Oh," I said again. "So, I was just wondering, really, why you would post something like that. Are your views the same as..." She glanced at a post-it note. "Universe cities. Do you think we should abolish the school system and all go and live in the woods and learn to start fires? Buy food by trading chickens and grow our own vegetables? End capitalism?" There were several reasons I disliked Dr. Aphelion. She was unnecessarily rude to students and believed passionately in thinking tools. But I couldn't quite remember the last time I'd disliked someone as much as I did right then. If there's one thing that makes me properly angry, it's people patronising me. "No," I said, because if I'd tried to say anything else, I would have either started shouting or started to cry. "So, why did you post it?" "I was drunk. I thought it was artistic," I said. "Right," she smirked. "Well then, that's, well, I've got to say, that's really very disappointing. I expected better." Artistic was disappointing. I was zoning out of this conversation. I was trying really hard not to cry. "Yeah," I said. She looked at me. "I'm going to have to remove you as head girl, Frances," she said. "Oh," I said. But I'd seen it coming. I'd seen it coming from a mile away. "You're just not presenting an appropriate image for the school." We need a head boy and girl who really believe in the school and care about its success, which clearly you don't. And I'd had enough. I think that's a bit unfair, I said. The video was obviously a mistake and I'm sorry, but to be fair, the only reason you even know I was in it is because someone else has told you. It wasn't even from a YouTube account that it belongs to me. You're just assuming that I had all the same views. Plus, what I do outside of school shouldn't factor into me being head girl anyway. Alpha Lion's expression changed as soon as I started to speak. Now she looked angry. If the things you do outside of school affect the school, then they affect your place as head girl, she said. This video has gone viral around many of our students. What, so I'm supposed to just base my whole life and everything I do around the fact that I'm head girl, and someone might accidentally see what I'm doing? I think you're being very immature. I stopped speaking. There was no point trying to argue. There was no way she was going to even attempt to listen to me. They never do, do they? They never even try to listen to you. Okay, I said. Not a very good start to year 13, eh? She raised her eyebrows again and produced a slightly pitying smile that said, you should probably leave now before I have to ask you to. Thanks, I said. But I didn't know why. Because I had nothing to thank her for. I got up out of my chair and walked towards the doorway. Oh, I'll need your head girl badge back, said Aphelion. I turned around and she was holding out her hand. Oh God, Francis, what's wrong? Are you all right? Only one of my friends, Maya, was sitting at our ILC table when I got there. I was crying, which was embarrassing. Not loudly or anything, but my eyes were wet and I had to keep wiping them so my mascara didn't run. I explained to her what had happened. Maya seemed a bit uncomfortable about the fact that I was crying. None of them had seen me cry before. It's okay. It's not going to really affect anything, is it? Maya laughed awkwardly. I mean, at least you won't have to do any of those speeches or events anymore. It's messed up my UCAS application. Like an entire paragraph of my personal statement was about me being head girl. It was literally the only reason I wanted to be head girl in the first place. Something I could say that I did. I don't have any other hobbies or... Cambridge want to see you in some kind of leadership role. Maya just listened and made a sympathetic face and rubbed my back and tried to be helpful. But I could tell she didn't get it, so I just said I was going to the bathroom to sort out my makeup, but just ended up sitting in a cubicle and trying to calm down and hating myself for crying in front of other people and for letting other people make me cry in the first place. Rain. So, Francis, said a girl I knew from my history class, Jess, leaning over her chair to talk to me from a different table. If you're to lose from University City, who's the voice of Radio Silence? Is it your friend Alid? It was the fourth week of September, a Wednesday. Alid was leaving for university in 3 days. Everyone in year 13 had been forced into the ILC during period one to work on our personal statements for our UCAS forms. Not that anyone was actually doing much work. My personal statement was pretty good. And by pretty good, I mean it was the most eloquent 500 words of bullshit I've ever written. But I was still trying to work out what to put in my extracurriculars paragraph, now that I couldn't boast about being head girl anymore. Is that why you were hanging out all summer? Apparently, lots of people had heard about Alid and me hanging out in the summer. The only reason people found it interesting was because they thought I was some kind of schoolwork-obsessed hermit. Which was true a lot of the time, so fair enough. I considered lying to Jess, but I panic under pressure, so I just said, I can't. I'm not allowed to say. Don't you live in the same village? Said another girl, who was sitting next to Jess. Well, yeah, I said. Suddenly, everyone within a 5-meter radius was looking at me. Because, like, since you're working on the show now, you must be pretty close to the actual creator. I felt my palms actually starting to sweat. Well, that's not necessarily true. That's what everyone on Tumblr's saying anyway. I didn't say anything to that, because she was right. Everyone on Tumblr seemed to think that me and the creator were BFFs. Well, I guess they weren't too far off the truth. How come you're not allowed to tell us? Said Jess, grinning like this was the most fun she'd ever had. I'd never been particularly close to Jess, and she was mostly known for always having the worst fake tan streaks imaginable. In year 10, a teacher got put on probation for calling her bacon legs during a lesson. Because, I caught myself before I said, he. The person who it is doesn't want anyone to know. I laughed to try and ease the tension. Like, it's all part of the mystery. Is he your boyfriend? What? Who? Radio? Alid. No. Jess just kept on grinning. The people listening in had started to look away again, chatting among themselves. Wait, are you talking about Alid last? Someone chipped in from the opposite end of my table. I looked over and realised that it was Rain Sengupta, tipped back in her chair against the wall, and tapping an unbreakable ruler against her table. I don't think it'd be him. He's like the quietest person in the world. She looked at me and raised her eyebrows and grinned slightly. And I suddenly became aware that she was lying. Also, Daniel Jung wouldn't be into that shit, she continued. Like all that arty stuff, I don't think he'd be best friends with a YouTuber. That's true, said Jess. Rain swung her legs, still dangerously tilted back on her chair. It's probably someone we don't even know. I just want to know. Jess said this too loudly, and our teacher finally realised no one was doing any work and stood up and told everyone off. Rain shot me a quick peace sign once Jess had turned round, and I wasn't sure whether it was the stupidest or the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And I happened to glance at the paper in front of her, which should have been a printed-out draft of her personal statement, but was instead totally blank. When I went to talk to her at the end of the lesson, she'd already left the room. I didn't see her again until after school, when she was walking down the road, literally 3 steps in front of me. I was going that way in any case, towards the train station. Normally, I'd avoid any possibilities of running into people I only vaguely know. But, I don't know. Maybe I was imagining that look she'd given me in history. Rain. She turned round. I would have killed for her hair. My hair's corkscrew curly and would look crap with an undercut, even though I tie it up every day anyway. Oh, hey, she said. You all right, mate? Yeah, I'm good, thanks, I said. You? Shattered, TBH. She looked it as well. But most of us were like that. So I was looking for you at lunch. She laughed. Her smile seemed like she knew something she shouldn't. Oh, sorry. I have detention like every lunchtime. What? Why? Well, you know my results were a bit shit. Yeah. Basically, they make me do work at lunch and during 3 periods to make up for it. What? Even at lunchtime? Yeah. I get 10 minutes to eat And then I have to sit outside Dr. Afalayan's office for 40 minutes and do homework and stuff. That's morally wrong. I know, right? Lunchtime is a basic human right. We turned a corner and it started to rain. The grey of the sky bleeding into the grey of the pavement. I put up my umbrella and made sure it was covering us both. Yeah, so, do you know Added Last or something? It kind of looked like you were lying to Jess's face, which was hilarious, by the way. She laughed and nodded. Oh my God, I actually cannot stand that girl. Wait. She snapped her head towards me. You're not close friends with her, are you? I don't speak to her that much. All I know about her is the bacon legs incident. Oh my God, bacon legs! I heard about this. That's totally what I'm going to call her from now on. She shook her head a little, grinning. Yeah, I just hate how she has to know, like, all the gossip, all the time. She really doesn't care about other people's feelings. Classic bacon legs. There was a pause. I suddenly realised that Rain was staring intently across the road. I followed her gaze to find that she was staring at a golden retriever on a walk with its owner. I looked back at her, and her eyes snapped to mine. Oh, sorry. I just love dogs. Seriously. If I had one wish, it would be for a dog. Anyway, I let out a laugh. She just said whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted. Incredible. Added Last. Yeah. Daniel Jung told me about his YouTube thing. I gaped at her. Seriously? Yep. Rain laughed. He was proper smashed, and it's always me who looks after people when they get, like, really drunk. You know, when you need someone to make sure they don't choke on their own sick. We were at some party and he just started talking about it. Jesus, do you know if Alid knows? Rain shrugged. No idea. I don't talk to him. I don't even watch the videos, so I don't think it matters. I know he doesn't want anyone to know, so it's not like I'm going to spread it around. Was this recent? Oh yeah, like a couple of months back. Rain paused. Daniel seemed kind of upset with Alid or something. Gave me the impression Alid liked his YouTube channel a bit more than he liked Daniel, you know? I thought back to what I'd seen on results night. Alid and Daniel together. Then Alid crying so hard I thought he might melt completely. That's pretty sad if that's true, I said. They're best friends. Rain studied me. Yeah, best friends. There was a pause. I glanced at her. Do you know something? She smiled broadly. Do I know that Alid and Daniel are fucking on the down low? Yeah, mate. The way she said it was so blasé that I let out a very nervous laugh. It hadn't even crossed my mind that they'd be having sex. The idea kind of freaked me out, because I'd always just assumed that mine and Alid's level of sexual experience was the same. Oh, I didn't know anyone else knew that. Just me, I think, due to drunk Daniel. Right. We'd reached the high street. I had to go left, to the train station. She had to continue on. I didn't know where she was going. Anyway, thanks, I said. You basically saved me there. I get really rambly under pressure. Oh, mate, that's okay. She smiled. Anything to stop bacon legs being a shit stirrer. And, like, you haven't been too chatty lately. You seem a bit zoned out. I was surprised she'd noticed anything about me. Rain and Maya and our friends barely paid any attention to me at all. Oh, I said. You know, just stuff going on. All the university stuff. Yeah, it's just a lot. Online. And now people in real life, you know, it's stressful. Aw, She gave me a sympathetic look. Don't worry. People will stop talking about it eventually. I chuckled. Yeah, eventually. She walked off with a vague see you later and another weirdly cool peace sign before I had the chance to reply. And I felt two things. Firstly, surprised Rain knew so many things despite seeming like the shallowest person I knew. Secondly, kind of sad that I'd ever thought she'd be shallow in the first place. Like this. On Thursday night, I was at Aliad's later than usual, because his mum had gone away for a few days to visit other family. It was only 9:30, and I know Aliad was 18 years old, but we both still felt like tiny babies, to be honest. Neither of us could quite work out how to use his washing machine. We were sitting at his kitchen table, waiting for some Morrison's pizzas to cook. And I was obviously talking about something completely ridiculous, and Aliad was just listening quietly and contributing things here and there, and everything was normal. Well, it wasn't. Is everything good? Asked Aliad, once we'd come to a natural pause in conversation. At school and stuff. This surprised me, because Aliad hardly ever asked generic questions like that. Yeah? Yeah? I laughed. So tired, though. I swear I don't get any sleep anymore. The oven timer bleeped, and Aliad clapped his hands together and went to get them out of the oven. And I started singing the word pizza repeatedly. He was leaving for university in 2 days. Once we were eating, I said, I needed to tell you something kind of important. Aliad stopped chewing for a second. Yeah? Do you know Rain Sengupta? Only vaguely. She told me yesterday she knows about Universe City. That you're the creator. Aliad completely stopped eating and met my eyes. Oh, I'd probably said something I shouldn't have. Again. Why did this keep happening? Why did I keep finding these things out? Oh. Aliad ran a hand through his hair. Jesus. She said she wasn't going to tell anyone. Yeah, she says. She also said... I stopped. I'd been about to say that she knew about Aliad and Daniel, but then I remembered that he didn't even know that I knew. Aliad was staring at me and actually looked a little scared. Oh God, what? Okay. She knows about, you and Daniel. There was a horrifying silence. Aliad stayed very still. What about us? Aliad said slowly. You know. But I couldn't finish my sentence. Oh, said Aliad. I shifted in my seat. Aliad let out a breath and looked down at his plate. Did you already know? I had no idea why I hadn't told him already. I think I just hate bringing up things that just cause people pain and embarrassment. I saw you kiss on your birthday, I said, then followed up with a hurried, nothing else, that was it. And then a bit later on I woke up and you were just, like, sobbing. Aliad ran a hand through his hair. Oh, yeah, I thought you might have been too drunk to remember that. I waited for him to say more, but he didn't, so I said, why didn't you tell me? He met my eyes again and I saw how sad they were. Then he chuckled. Honestly, same reason I didn't let you meet my mum. You're like in a separate place to all the difficult things going on in my life. He laughed. Oh my God, what a douchey thing to say, sorry. I laughed too, because it had sounded like a very douchey thing to say. But I got what he was trying to say. It was not as simple as, Daniel and I are in a relationship. Nothing was ever simple, was it? Why were you crying? I asked. Alid looked at me for a second more, and then looked back to his food, picking at a pizza crust with one hand. I can't remember. I was probably just really drunk. He laughed, but I could tell it was fake. I'm an emotional drunk. Oh. I didn't believe him, but he obviously didn't want to tell me. So is Daniel gay? I said, because there was no way I couldn't just say it. Yeah, he said. I was still pretty shocked I hadn't guessed. You know, I'm bisexual. Alid's eyes widened. What? Are you? Yeah. I told you I kissed Karis, didn't I? Yeah, you did, but... Alid shook his head. I don't know. I didn't think about it very hard. He paused. Why didn't you tell me that before? I don't know, I began. But that was a lie. I've never told anyone before. Alid suddenly looked very sad. Haven't you? No. We both took a bite of pizza. When did you realise you were bi? Alid said it almost so quietly I didn't hear him over the sound of my chewing. I hadn't been expecting that question at all. I almost didn't want to answer him. But then I sort of realised why he was asking. There wasn't, like, one moment, I said. It was like, well, I found out what it was on the internet, and then it just made sense. I'd never tried to explain this to anyone before, not even myself, really. Like, this sounds really stupid, but I've always been able to imagine being with a boy or a girl. I mean, obviously they're slightly different, but, like, the general feelings are the same. Does that make sense? None of this makes sense. No, it makes sense, he said. Why haven't you told your school friends? I looked at him. There was never really anyone worth telling. His eyes widened a little. Maybe he realised that he was basically my only friend. I sort of hoped he didn't realise. It just made me feel sorry for myself. I continued. Like, it's one of the reasons that I got so into Universe City in the first place. Because Radio falls in love with all sorts of people. Boys and girls and other genders and, like, aliens and stuff. I laughed. And he smiled too. I think everyone's a bit bored with boy-girl romances anyway, he said. I think the world's had enough of those, to be honest. I wanted so badly to ask him, but that's the one thing you can't just ask. You've just got to wait until they tell you. When the front door opened, both of us jumped so hard I nearly knocked the bottle of lemonade over. Alid's mum entered the kitchen and blinked at me, a Tesco tote bag over one shoulder and her car keys in one hand. Oh, hello, Francis, love, she said, her eyebrows raised. Didn't expect you to be here so late. She glanced at the clock on the kitchen wall. It was nearly 10 p.m. I leapt up from my chair. Oh, God. Yeah, sorry, I'd better go home. She barely seemed to be listening to me, but after dumping her bag on the kitchen counter, she interrupted. Oh, don't be silly! You're right in the middle of your dinner! I didn't really know what to say, so I just slowly sat back down. I thought you were at Grandad's, Mum, said Alid, and his voice sounded weird, kind of forced. Well, I was, darling. But they've got a few bits and bobs to be getting on with this weekend. She launched into an unnecessarily long explanation of Alid's grandparents' weekend plans. I kept trying to catch Alid's eye, but he was just staring at Carol like a wild animal, trying to stay still to remain undetected. She started doing some washing up, and for the first time since she entered the room, glanced towards her son. "Your hair's getting a bit long, isn't it, Ali? Shall I book you a haircut?" There was an unbearably long silence. "Actually, I sort of like it like this," said Alid. She frowned and turned the tap off. She started cleaning pans, like she was trying to erode them. "What? Don't you think it looks a bit unkempt, darling? You look a bit like one of those drug addicts you always see outside the job centre." "I like it like this," said Alid. Carol dried her hands with a tea towel. "I could cut it for you if you like." She looked at me. "I always used to cut his hair when he was little." Alid didn't say anything. And then, to my absolute horror, Carol last grabbed a pair of kitchen scissors from the counter and started walking with them towards Alid. "No, Mum, I'm fine." "Look," she said, "I could just chop the ends off for you. It wouldn't take two ticks." "It's honestly fine, Mum. You'd look so much smarter, Ali." I didn't think it was going to happen. I could see it possibly about to happen, but I didn't think there was any way it would really happen. This was real life, not some TV drama. No, Mum, don't." She literally took a chunk of Alid's hair and cut about 10 centimeters off. Alid jerked backwards and stood up so fast it was made apparent that he hadn't thought it was going to happen either. Suddenly, I realized I'd stood up too. When had I done that? She'd just cut his hair. What the fuck? "Mum," Alid went to say something, but Carol cut him off. "Oh, come on, darling. It's much too long, isn't it? You'll be a social reject if you turn up to university like that." She turned to me again. She was clutching the chunk of hair in one hand and the open scissors in the other. "Won't he, Francis?" But I literally couldn't say anything. Alid had his hand over the place where a chunk of his hair used to be. Very slowly, zombie-like, he said, "Francis has to go home now." Carol smiled. She smiled in a way that was either complete obliviousness or utter psychotic evil. "Oh, well, it must be nearly your bedtime." "Yes," I said, though my voice sounded like I was being strangled. Alid pulled me quickly to the door by one arm before I could force my legs to move by themselves. He opened the door without looking at me and sort of pushed me outside. It was a clear night. You could see so many stars. I turned back to face him. What exactly just happened? Alid moved his hand away from his hair, and as if things couldn't get bad enough, the dark blonde was stained with red. I grabbed his hand and turned it over to find a thin cut running down the middle of his palm from where he'd attempted to bat the scissors away. He wrenched his hand back. "It's fine. She's always like this." "Does she hurt you?" I said. "Tell me if she hurts you right now. I'm serious." "No, I swear she doesn't." He waved his injured hand. "This was an accident." "That's not right. She can't just... She just... What the fuck? I mean..." "It's fine. Just go home. I'll text you later." "Yeah, but why would she..." "This is what she does. She's just playing a game. I'll text you later." No, I want to talk about it now, Alid. Well, I fucking don't. Alid last never swore, except when he really needed to. He shut the door on me, and I couldn't do anything about it. At all. Universe City Podcast, Episode 132, Phone. Posted by Universe City. Cyborg attack. Again.
I hid for 47 minutes exactly. I had my moonometer with me. In the telephone box, by the power station on Tombsby Street. Nobody thinks to look for anyone there. Everyone knows the box is haunted. I don't want to talk about what I saw. While I was hiding and waiting, I was also thinking and deciding. Was I going to let the cyborg chase me forever? Was I going to have to turn my back every 2 minutes to check for those marble eyes and spitting circuits? No. That's no way to live. Not even in the vicious, cruel barricades of the city of the universe. I can take a little beating now and then, old sport. Believe me. I've been in this city for as long as I can remember, it seems. This hardly qualifies as a distress call anymore. By gods, if anyone was listening, I would have heard from you by now. I can take a little beating now and then. I'm a tough one. I'm a star. I'm steel-chested and diamond-eyed. Cyborgs live, and then they break. But I'll never break. Even when my bone dust drifts over the city walls, I'll be living, and I'll be flying, and I will wave and laugh.
In the dark. I get an email every time someone sends me an ask on Tumblr. And I was surprised, to say the least, when I checked my email during break at school the next day, and I had 27 emails from Tumblr with the subject, "Someone asked you a question." I loaded up the Tumblr app and had a look through. Anonymous said, "Are you February Friday?" This made me frown, but I continued scrolling. Anonymous said, "Thoughts on the rumours that you're February Friday? Kiss, kiss." Anonymous said, "No, but you have to tell us whether you're February. It's your duty as fandom god." Anonymous said, "Are you seriously February Friday?" Anonymous said, "So, your surname is literally French for January. You're friends with the creator and your school burned down on a February Friday. Coincidence? Explain, please. Kiss." There were more than 27 messages. Tumblr had obviously stopped bothering to send me emails at some point this morning. They were all messages about February Friday. It took 5 minutes of digging to find the source of the rumours. Universe 3 Cities. Potential February Friday? Okay, guys, this is all speculation, but what if Francis Janvier, Toulouse, is February Friday? I've been doing a bit of digging. Lol, I'm not a stalker, I swear. And I think there's a fair bit of argument for it. One. Francis used to go to a school that burned down on Friday, February 4th, 2011. Source. Two, she's been a fan of the show since it started. Was she the first to know about it? Did the creator tell her about it? Three, The fact that she's one of the biggest names in the fandom, and now she's suddenly working for the show. She clearly has some link to the creator and the show that she's not fully telling us. 4. Her surname is literally French for January. Coincidence? 5. Also, these tweets pretty much speak for themselves. Toulouse, at Toulouse. I think the letters to February are my favourite part of every show. The creator is a genius. 13th of April, 2011. Toulouse, at Toulouse. I wish there were more letters to February. They're not in the show so much anymore. Winky face, winky face. I miss the crazy mess of words. 14th of December, 2011. Toulouse, at Toulouse. Universe City has honestly saved my life. Heart emoji. 29th of August, 2011.